In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text is the appointed gospel for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, St. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Dear brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to the children, lepers had to warn themselves or warn those around them away from themselves. Ringing bells, calling out. Remember in the scriptures those times when they would call Jesus, "Have mercy," just as others with other ailments had. But the rest of the time when Jesus wasn't around for them to call upon, it was unclean. Make way, unclean. The uncleanliness was not that they were filthy necessarily. Sometimes leprosy was merely a small rash, but if it looked contagious, infectious, if it came and did not go away, those people had to be isolated. And not only were they considered unclean as far as their disease was concerned, even worse in their mind, they were considered unclean as far as contact with everything of the Lord and, as we mentioned, everything of their families. They not only had to say, "Go away," but the Lord had told them, "Stay away. Stay away from your family. Stay away from your friends. Stay away from morning coffee with your buddies. Stay away from temple. Stay away from offering sacrifices for your forgiveness and the forgiveness of your family if it was the head of a household. Stay away from the main practice of the faith." And it must have been difficult for some of them to stay in the faith after being forced to stay away so much. They had to show off to tell the world, "This is what's wrong with me." They had to draw attention to a disease which, from mild all the way up to disfiguring, nobody wanted to contact. Yeah, some lepers just had a small rash. Things like eczema, if it was untreated and continued on, might have been lumped in under leprosy. But there were much, much worse things. Fungal infections and others, right up to what we would call classic leprosy, which numbed so much your extremities that you could injure yourself and not realize it. You could have gangrene setting in before you even knew that you cut yourself because there was no pain. And there was no pleasure. Touch was just a dull thump. You might as well have a lump of coal for a hand as the one that you had because those nerves were useless for any contact, any feeling. And they had to show that. They couldn't just slink down the side of the road and hope nobody saw them. They had to boldly say, "Get away from me. Look at this horrible thing that has happened to me." Ring the bell. Yell out loud. They came to Jesus, kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Not even any begging, just a flat-out statement. An absolute fact. If you will, you can make me clean. And not just will or won't, but if it is your will. And Jesus said, just that, "I will be clean." And the original text, even fewer words than you have written right here. And immediately. But we notice what happened before Jesus expressed that will. He, the sinless Son of God, the only truly clean thing that had been walking the face of the earth since Adam and Eve fell into sin, reached out and touched that man. That man who was dirty, contaminated, ritually, temple worship unclean, but was also then unclean because of his inborn sin. And he said, I will. He identified, because the only person who was supposed to touch a leper was another leper. And Jesus said, that doesn't matter. I am here to bring not only the spiritual healing that this world needs, but also to express the physical healing that accompanies it. Jesus didn't go through the Northland in the Galilee traveling medicine show. It wasn't him showing off what he could do, or even what God could do, but all of these things confirmed his message while at the same time prophesying to the complete fulfillment of that message in his own and in our resurrection. Jesus could reach out and touch that man and heal him without even saying more than, I will be clean. And the leprosy left the man immediately. We wish it were like that all the time. Family, friends who are hospitalized, who are suffering at home or in the nursing home. We ourselves here who have something that is medically untreatable or which can only be managed. Things which we have. But even if we've dodged all of those bullets, if we've been the picture of health all of our lives, that's always but. Because no matter what we can be cured of, there is one thing for which there is no earthly cure, and that is death. The last symptom of the disease of sin, just as all of these other diseases are themselves but symptoms of sin. God asks us to show him what's wrong. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't command us to stand up and say, what a good boy am I? That's private between you and him. That's quiet. And the only time it's really true is not when you say it, but when God says it to you. But God wants us to tell him, I am unclean. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We talk about the sins that we have done of commission and omission. The things that I have done and the things that I have left undone. Thought, word, deeds. It piles up. God says, tell me what you can of that. You don't have to go announce to the world what a rotten person you are unless it's part of the proclamation of the gospel. But as we tell him that, as we recognize our disease, we realize that he has already stretched out his hand, not only toward us, but outward on the cross. Jesus stretched out his hands and healed you, not only of whatever is eventually going to kill you, but also of what would have already killed you and left you dead and in hell forever had he not suffered and died for you. Jesus on the cross might as well have said at the end of his suffering, be clean. Adam, Eve, be clean. That whole thing with the fruit and the serpent, it's all gone. Might as well have told you. Sins that you had in your past that may still be buried, sins that everybody knows about, they're gone. You're clean. Because when he says it, it happens. And when he says it in his word, when he says it through his called and ordained servants of that word, when he says it in your baptism, when he says it as he feeds you the supper, no matter how the gospel is expressed, in word alone or in word with a physical element, he is saying, be clean, be healed, be whole, be forgiven. Because once the forgiveness is there, everything else is in line also. Because nothing that ails us comes without sin. and without sin, nothing ails us. Be clean. And you know what? There's no gag order on that one. Jesus told this man, keep your mouth shut, because his intent was, first of all, I guess, to stay there a bit longer. Not to have everybody and his brother and his sick sister come and say, help me, heal me, fix me. Or if not me, then dad or mom or the kids or whoever. Jesus had to run out and hide in the desert, and still they went out and found him. Of course, if it hadn't been this man, it would have been someone else. But it wasn't just that Jesus needed a little peace and quiet and a bit of a break. But every time this was announced, it was an announcement both to Satan and to his earthly tormentors that he was dangerous, that he had to be stopped. Every time Jesus said, be clean, get up and walk, your sins are forgiven, whatever it was, he was saying, crucify me. Put me to death. I dare you. And finally, Satan, the Jewish council, Judas, the Romans, they took Jesus there. They were tired of lepers being cleaned up. They were tired of people who had been paralyzed from birth up and walking around. They were really annoyed because folks who could never go to church because they were never clean enough to come into church, going to church and offering their sacrifices. They were tired of hearing people sing songs of praise for the first times in their life because it was the first time in their life they could have sang or talked or expressed anything with their mouths. They were tired of people being able to sit down and listen to a sermon in the synagogue when they had had to have it written out before because they never could hear. Boy, aren't you tired of things like that happening around you? Don't you just get really annoyed anytime there's some sort of a medical breakthrough that fixes or helps some ailment that you or someone you love have? But every time people announced that, was announcing that the old was passing away and everything that was old was tainted and stained by sin. Jesus was announcing something new, something that didn't need scribes, Pharisees, or Sadducees, something that didn't need Roman legions, something that didn't need councils and judges and governments, something that spit in the face of Satan and sent him off where he deserved to be forever and ever. But that's done now. Jesus finally was crucified, died, and was buried, but thanks God, he also rose again on the third day. And now the word is not, shh, don't tell anyone. But now you are empowered and able and encouraged to tell everyone. Not that you need to stand on a soapbox and brag to the whole world what a wonderful Savior you have. But you're allowed and encouraged to talk about him at work, at home, at play, at school, wherever you find yourself. Maybe not tell what he's done for the whole world, but tell how he's been with you. And even if he hasn't taken something away from you, how he has allowed you to suffer in faith and know that all things will work together for your good. The lepers had to show because it was so horrible and no one else was supposed to come in contact with them. We are allowed to show because we have something so wonderful that everybody around us needs. The believers need to hear it again and again, and the unbelievers need to hear it maybe for the first time or maybe also for them again and again. Whatever makes you sick, Christ heals. And finally, that first and last enemy of death will be overcome. Jesus will not only say, be clean so that the lepers are healed, so the lame can walk, so all of our broken bones and failures to see and to hear and to speak correctly are gone. But even death itself is gone. That final offense against the life that God made in the beginning is banished. And we will continue to be allowed to show it and tell it. to the God who saved us, who sent his Son, and that Son himself, to our brothers and sisters who now live around us forever and ever. Look at me, I'm clean. And you know who did it? Jesus. But why wait till heaven to praise him if he's freed your mouth to sing his praises in confidence and truth? Why wait to serve him when he's given you neighbors who are suffering themselves, who are hungry, who are holding less than enough money to get them through their days, who are suffering sickness, alone, unvisited? Just as Jesus stretched out his hand and said, I will. May God grant you to will to love your neighbor as yourself. And not only to proclaim how he has cleaned and healed you, but how you are willing then to reach out with his cleansing love and faith and forgiveness and an encouragement to those around you. In the name of Jesus who cleansed you in your baptism and continues to clean you through his absolution and his supper, God be with you, God bless you, and God continue to make you clean until you are completely cleaned on the day of resurrection. Amen. Now the peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in the same Christ Jesus into life everlasting.